Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
Stevie Wonder, signed, sealed, delivered, we're his. Amen? Amen. Thank you, AV team. Anyway, we are signed, sealed, and delivered, and you're going to see that today to a great extent. Are you ready? Who's ready for the word? Hold up your Bible and say, I love my Bible. My Bible is the compass for my life. If I don't look at that compass, I get lost. So I'm going to look at the compass. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to find out what God has for me and not get lost. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word today. Father, we esteem your word even as you said you do. You esteem your word even above your name. You are your word. Jesus, you were the word that took on flesh and came and dwelt among us. We thank you for showing us the Father. We thank you for interpreting the word of God for us. We thank you, Father, for just being all in all in our lives. We give you honor and glory and praise today in the mighty name of Jesus for all that you're going to do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Well, are you good today? Everybody good? How many of you have really been enjoying this Ephesians series? Absolutely, absolutely. It's been so good, and it just gets gooder and gooder. But we're looking again at, Pastor Jess went into Ephesians 1:13 and 14, she went into 14 too, I believe, last week. But we're going to look at some of the words a little bit more in depth. And I believe this is going to be like a Bible study today. Are you okay with that? You already told me you love your Bibles, right? So it'll be a little bit of a Bible study. And I want to look at this verse in a few different translations. So you're going to have to hang in there with me. Are you okay? Everybody good with that? But I love this series because we've been finding out who we are in Christ. Amen? We've been finding out that we're delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. That's already a done deal. We've been finding out that we've been adopted into the family. Unless you were Jewish by birth, you know, and had the Abrahamic covenant, we were Gentiles without hope, most of us. But Jesus came, and he said, I want to buy them back, and he died to break the curse of sin over our lives, and now we've been adopted in the family. We've been grafted in, and as we saw when Dr. Vanessa ministered, you know, you can sometimes want to disown your own kids, but once you adopt, it's illegal. You have them for life. So we are adopted for life, for eternity. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? So let's look at Ephesians, the first chapter. And let's see how strong our position is in him. And I'm hoping, I'm believing that many of your fears will be dispelled today. I don't know about you, but I still, and I'm actually a little bit ashamed to say this for as long as I've been around the Word of God, but I still struggle sometimes with condemnation. You know, the lies of the devil that, I don't know, this perfectionism that I feel like that my good isn't good enough and that somehow I'm still earning his approval. And I don't know the environment you grew up in, but some of us grew up in those kinds of environments. You know, I had six brothers and sisters, and so, you know, my parents, they had to really use some skills to keep us all in control. But, you know, you tend to compare a lot. You tend to think you're not good enough and all those kinds of issues that can come with that. But the devil can literally dog you and cause you to think that somehow every day there's a check system. There's a checklist of if you're doing everything right, and if you prayed an hour, well, that wasn't enough. And if you encouraged one or two friends, well, of course you encouraged friends because they encourage you back. But what about the lost? I mean, there was just always something on your shoulder dogging you and condemning you. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But it's a lie from the devil. And the Bible says, having given us Jesus, hasn't he also won't he also freely give us all things? So the most precious commodity of heaven, the most precious, valuable thing on the planet has already been given to buy us back to the Father so we can have an eternity with him. And we need to just lock and load, girls. We need to absolutely draw a line in the sand and know who we are in him and be free from all of that holds us back. Amen? But let's look at Ephesians, the first chapter. Let's look at verse 13. It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We are the purchased possession. Aren't you glad? We've been purchased. We've been bought with the blood of Jesus. But it says that having believed, once we believed, we were also sealed. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and he is actually our guarantee. He is our guarantee. We're going to see he's our down payment. He is actually our engagement ring. Aren't you glad? Well, let's look at this in a couple other translations so you can see by some of the other words that are used what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. In the Amplified Bible, it says, in him you also, who have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in and adhered to and relied on him, were stamped with the seal of the long-promised Holy Spirit. We've been stamped with the seal of the long-promised Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruits, the pledge and foretaste, the down payment on our heritage, in anticipation of its full redemption and our acquiring complete possession of it to the praise of his glory. Let's look at the Passion Bible. I like this translation. It says, and because of him, when you who were not Jews, most of us, heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. We've been stamped. He is given to us like an engagement ring is given to a bride at the first installment of what's coming, as the first installment of what's coming. He is our hope promise of a future inheritance, which seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all the supreme glory and honor of God. The Holy Spirit of promise, the long-promised Holy Spirit, is like an engagement ring given to a bride. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I was in my early 30s before I got married, and I remember the devil had just told me, you know, I was never going to be married, and I'd had a few people ask me. I won't go into those stories, but I just didn't believe it was God, so I almost come to the conclusion that it wasn't God's will for me to get married, and, you know, it was me and the Apostle Paul, you know. But God brought my husband into my life, and I remember the morning after he gave me that engagement ring, just laying in bed, and the sun was coming through the window, and just seeing how the diamond sparkled, and it's not a very big diamond, but it's precious, and I love it, and just watching the sparkles that came off all on off of it, and knowing that it meant I was going to be married. In just a few months, I was going to be married. And those of you that have experienced that thrill, you know that it's something to know that there's someone that values you and wants to spend his life with you. Well, God has given us the Holy Spirit as our engagement ring, vowing to us that he's returning for the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and along with him, us. Amen. Let's look at what it says in the Message Bible. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm yours. Anyway, by the Holy Spirit. That's how he had that song. Found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life, this life, but in eternal life. Amen? So we have been signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. He's actually a signet or a ring that's been placed as an installment on what's coming in our lives. So let's talk a little bit about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the long-awaited, long-promised coming of the Holy Spirit. It was foretold over 800 years before he was actually given. In Acts 2, 16 through 21, on the day of Pentecost, we see that Peter stands up and he says, this is that what was spoken by the prophet Joel. About, I believe it was about 800, what did I put? Anyway, 843 or something like that. B.C. is when Joel said this. He said he was interpreting what was happening on the day of Pentecost. They'd gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody was speaking in tongues, other languages that they didn't know. And this was a quote from Joel 2, 28 through 32. And it came to pass in the last days, says God, this is Peter quoting it to all those that were gathered, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on your men servants and on your maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever. It wasn't just the Jews that had a covenant with Abraham, with God. It wasn't, here he was speaking to a crowd of basically Jewish people, but he was saying, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This was prophesied over 800 years earlier. We're going to see even longer than that. But he spoke and said that this, the Holy Spirit falling, was that long-awaited promise of the Holy Spirit being given. Again, in 2 Corinthians 6:16, Paul is talking, and he's quoting out of Leviticus, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and he says, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. He was saying, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Thousands of years in Leviticus, it was over 2000 BC, that God was saying, I'm going to dwell in them, whoever, all people. The day will come that I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, I will be their God, and they will be my people. So see, we were in the heart of God for a really long time. But how amazing that that was prophesied so many years ago, and yet here was the hour that the Holy Spirit was being given. Paul refers to what Isaiah said in 1 Corinthians 14:21. Again, talking about speaking in tongues. He said, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. He was quoting Isaiah 28:11 through 13, that Isaiah spoke in about 740 BC. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. Anybody need rest today? He's got rest for us. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So Paul, in talking about the gift of tongues and speaking in tongues and the balance that it should be in the church, he said, he was quoting Isaiah 28:11 through 13. And now on the day of Pentecost was the fulfillment of that. But Jesus foretold this promise of the Father. Jesus foretold that the promise of the Father, the long-awaited Holy Spirit, would come. He said this in Luke 24:49 first. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father." He's talking to them. He's already been raised from the dead. He's basically saying, don't go anywhere. Wait, I've got something else for you. And he says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." That word power is dunamis. Until you are endued with the dunamis power of God, wait until you receive that. So he was speaking to them, and he was telling them that he was going to send the promise of the Father. In Acts 1:4-8, again, they're repeating what he had said. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized," or fully immersed, "with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So on the day of Pentecost, we see that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh. And Jesus said that this was the promise of the Father, the long-awaited Holy Spirit. See, until people were born again, until Jesus paid the price for sin and put a new spirit on the inside of us, causing us to be born again of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit could not indwell us. So once you're born again, he has more for you. And he wants to seal you with the long promised promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Are you with me today? Everybody listening? All right, are we good? Everybody good? Well, in Jesus talking to the disciples, he was trying to get them ready for him leaving. He was going to be leaving. He walked with them for over 3 years. Everything was good. When they needed taxes, he said, go fishing. You know, all their needs were met. And now he's talking about leaving. They're like, wait a minute. Aren't we going to set up the kingdom and be strong like back in the days of King David? And aren't you that king that's been going to restore Israel? And we're going to get back at the Romans. Remember all those prophecies? And not understanding, not their eyes not being open, they didn't yet know really what was going to be happening. But Jesus began to talk to them all through John 14:15-16. It's a wonderful stretch of scripture if you want to just do yourself a favor and spend some time there all in one sitting sometime. But in John 14:16, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." In other words, I've been with you. It's been pretty good. But he's going to give you another helper. And you see the H is capitalized there because he's talking about the great helper, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." Everyone say forever. He doesn't leave on a bad day. He will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. He's telling them, you know him, for he dwells with you. He was Jesus dwelling with them, and will be in you. He said, I'm with you and it's all been good, but he's going to be in you. And that's even better. Because sometimes when Jesus wasn't around, the disciples didn't do so good. Amen? Remember sometimes out at sea, hey, wake him up. We're going to drown. Sometimes they couldn't cast out those demons. And you go, well, you haven't been fasting very much. That's why that's not working. So if he was with them, it was good. But he wasn't always physically with them. But he's saying a better day is coming. It's expedient that I go away. It's necessary that I go away. Because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come. And he's the third person of the Trinity that's with us today. Amen? In John 14, 26, he said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you." I feel like I've worn out that scripture. Oh, Father, bring to my remembrance. "He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you." He said he would send him in his name. Then John 15, 26, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." And that's why many times we don't hear too much said about the Holy Spirit, because his whole job is exalting Jesus. You know he's on the scene when Jesus is exalted. He says, "I won't speak of myself." He glorifies Jesus because without Jesus, you can't come to the Father. Amen? So he is here to make real to us who Jesus is and what he wants for us. So once you're born again, you can have this promise of the Father and be filled with the Holy Spirit. But you know, I started meditating on this scripture, or on this word in Ephesians 1, sealed, that we would be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I want to show you the Greek word here is sphragizo. Anyway, sphragizo, sphragizo. Anyway, it means to stamp with a signet or a private mark for security or preservation. You know, kings would decree something and they'd seal it in a letter and they'd pour some wax on, and then they had a ring that they would seal it. And then whoever was going to follow through with that decree or read it, that seal could not be broken until it was ready to be read. It could not be tampered with. Well, back in 1982, there were some people that began to die. By the time they figured out what was going on, 7 people had died. And they found out that it was from some Tylenol bottles that someone had tampered with and had laced the capsules with arsenic. And so that was a big deal. And they realized, see, way back in the day, you know, it wasn't so hard to get the caps off the bottles because we were able to trust each other a little bit more. But between 1982 and 1983, before they figured out the perfect cap system, they spent $173 million on trying to get just the right cap to make that work, that it was tamper resistant or tamper proof. And that's why you have to deal with all that to get an aspirin nowadays. You know, the other day I was thinking about it, and I remembered through that era that this coming into light, that the bottles were made that way, and all of us kind of, you know, first you were tempted to complain a little bit, but then you realize that the reason it was that way was to save your life. So I wanted to show you and talk to you a little bit about how we are sealed. So I brought my Costco size bottle of glucosamine, and normally it also has chondroitin in it with MSM, and this is very good for joint health. So if you need a good recommendation, commercial break for joint health, Move Free was the popular brand, and now of course we have all the generic brands, but you can get a really big bottle at Costco. Anyway, I brought it because it's a really big bottle, so the ones even in the back can see, amen? But I wanted to talk to you about how we are sealed and how these bottles nowadays are sealed. There's this plastic outer cover that I hope I'm going to be able to do this. This plastic outer cover that first you got to take off, and usually you got to find some scissors, or you can use your tooth sometimes. But usually there's a little break there. Don't try that at home. Don't let your kids do that. Anyway, so you take off this, and this is that first level of tampering. You know, how many of you go and you're going to buy some vitamins or something, and there's like one left on the shelf, and you need it, and you're determined to get it. And this outer plastic might be just tampered with a little bit. It might be a little bit ripped. But if you're determined to have it, you think, well, no one's really gotten into it because it's really not taken off, right? And most of us know there's another seal inside, right? So I was thinking about it, and this is kind of how sometimes how the devil messes with us. You know, he kind of messes with us a little bit, harasses us, causes sometimes horrible things to happen in our life. We can experience a real crisis, and you think, oh my God, I don't know. Does Jesus love me? Am I still so precious to him? How could this have happened? Just this week, I was talking to someone that she was like, why is this happening? And I just want to tell you it's happening because you're on the planet and we're here with the enemy of our soul. But God has promised that we're overcoming him and that he cannot really, truly mess with anything of eternal value. Are you with me? And so he kind of messes with us. And so we have these harassing things we have to deal with. And so we apply the word of God. We use our faith. We talk to God about it. We tell the devil, this is not the last chapter. You know, I'm here for the long haul. So just, you know, get over it, devil, because I'm not yielding to your tactics. You know, his ultimate tactic, if you understand his ultimate tactic, it was like with Job, to cause us to curse God and die. If you've already established that that's not going to happen, then you just keep playing until you win. But that is his goal. But you know what? He can't have us. Amen? He can't have us because we're sealed. Now, even that layer can come off. Not saying it should, but you know, the devil is a liar and he can try to mess with you. But then, look inside. This is the part that always caused me a lot of grief trying to get this thing off. This one actually has a nice little tab. See, they've improved them, aren't you glad? This has a nice little tab that makes it a little bit easier. But sometimes you're, you know, in the kitchen with a knife trying to go around the edges to get that thing off. Are you guys with me? See, we are sealed. We are sealed. We are like a happy little pill in that bottle. Do you think those pills are in there going, oh, I just don't know if that seal's going to come off today? They're just chilling. They're just resting because they're sealed. And even though the plastic might be tampered with and you might even think, oh, somebody was kind of picking at this, when you get home, if this seal isn't broken, you know that nothing has happened on the inside. Are you with me? Well, the Holy Spirit has sealed us into the day of our redemption. He has sealed us, and we are his, and he is ours, and nothing of eternal value can hurt us. Are you with me? Are you with me? So sometimes you've got to nail it. You've got to, as I said, draw a line in the sand and tell the devil he is flat out a liar. And everything of eternal value has already been bought and paid for. And so anything that would happen down here is just a waste of his time. Because Jesus has promised that we can have an abundant life even here and now. So that's what we press for. Yes, eternity is taken care of. And that's really the best. That's really the biggest deal. I told somebody one time, should you live to be 120, baby girl? It's going to be like that. It's going to be like a vapor, James says, compared to eternity. World without end. As Pastor Deborah showed us, a little line on a big piece of paper is time compared to world without end. And that's been taken care of. We are sealed. We are signed, sealed, and delivered for his value. Amen. For his purpose. So sometimes you just have to step back and put things in perspective. And what it does is it gives you fighting power. Because if the blood of Jesus has already bought and paid for your all of eternity, then what can he do here and now? He can try to tamper with that little outer wrapper. But he is no match for the Holy Spirit who has sealed you, who has actually given you an engagement ring, and is coming to marry you someday. Are you with me? So we say, take a chill pill, just be like a little chill pill. knowing that you're sealed, knowing that you were bought and paid for, knowing that you are His and He is yours. And there's nothing that can break that seal. The Holy Spirit has sealed us. Amen. Well, the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, has been poured out on the day of Pentecost. He is our down payment. He is our engagement ring. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever bought a house. One of the words that was used in one of our Ephesians translations is that the Holy Spirit is our down payment. Once you've made that down payment, all things being equal, that house is yours. And you strut around, you try to figure out what color you're going to paint walls. If you've been renting for a long time and you finally own, man, you could put that nail on whatever wall you want because it's your house. You've really only made a down payment. But legally, but after all that book of papers you sign, that house is yours. Now, all things being equal, you know you have to continue to make payments and not go into foreclosure and all that, but that is your house because you have paid the down payment. Well, the Holy Spirit, it says here, is our down payment. He is our down payment on heaven. And so we have already, he is our down payment, so we already have that purchase price of heaven. It belongs to us, and we're going there. Amen? Yeah. It's a legal contract that we have that has been signed by the very blood of Jesus. In Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, again, in the Passion Bible, it says, "And because of him, when you who were not Jews heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. He is given to us like an engagement ring is given to a bride, as the first installment of what's coming. He is our hope promise of a future inheritance, which seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience complete freedom. All of the supreme glory and honor of God." So we've been stamped, we've been sealed, and he is like an engagement ring. And the date has been set, only God knows that. But he is returning for a glorious bride. But the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. He was poured out on all flesh. And Jesus, you know, he had breathed on the disciples at the end of the book of John 20, verse 22. He had raised from the dead, and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So they were already born again. But then he told them to wait for the promise of the Father, to wait for that infilling of the Holy Spirit. And for those of us that have experienced being filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a measure of his presence that comes in that you literally get to experience a bit of heaven here on earth. Do I hear an amen? Where in prayer you can come before him and come into his presence, and there's a rich sense of his anointing and his indwelling. He's in there in a baptismal measure. He's in there. He has flooded and invaded your soul. So when he goes up, guess what? You go up. He's your down payment. He's your engagement ring. He is the seal. He is the seal on this cap, this bottle of life. He is the seal, the third person of the Trinity. So many of you today may have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I believe most of you have. If you haven't, I'd like you to just raise your hand right now. Maybe you came with a friend. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life. You haven't given him all of your heart, all of your life. Just raise your hand quickly and we'll all pray with you. We've all come this way and we love to get to help usher our sisters into the body of Christ. So if you need to receive Jesus, let me ask it this way. How many of you have made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? Raise your hand. I see those hands. Is that everybody? I say, raise your right hand if you love Jesus. Raise your left hand if you hate the devil. That's what we tell them in preschool. Anyways, that's how we teach them how to praise the Lord. So How many of you are born again, you love Jesus, you've made him the Lord and Savior of your life, you're going to heaven forever and ever? There you go. Okay, let's be bold with our witness. Well, you may have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. All of you have. I didn't see any hands that didn't go up. But now he wants to give you that down payment. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he wants to offer that to you today. Now in Samaria, Philip went down there and he preached to them Jesus. They were saved. They were water baptized. But then Peter and John came down from Jerusalem and they laid hands on them for them then to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's the promise of the Father. Jesus told the disciples, don't go anywhere. You're born again. You've received Jesus, me. I've breathed on you. I've told you to receive the Holy Spirit, and they were born again, but he said, don't go anywhere, don't do anything until you receive power, the dunamis, dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. Everyone that I pray with that gets filled with the Holy Spirit, they go, oh, I know this Holy Spirit. Of course, there's not two Holy Spirits. But he floods your soul. He comes in a baptismal measure. That word baptism means to be submersed, to be totally immersed in his power. And that's what we need to live on the planet here and now. Do I hear an amen? Amen. One person said that the gifts of the Spirit are the weapons of our warfare. We're in a spiritual battle, but we don't even see the enemy we fight. Are you with me? Somebody's like, where is that devil? But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, he comes in and there's nine ways in which he can move through you supernaturally to thwart the attacks of the devil. There's nothing that he can attack you with that there isn't a gift of the Spirit that won't nail it. It's amazing. Oh, I wish I could teach for about 3 months on this. But anyway, but on the day of Pentecost, when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, the first gift of the Spirit, the first of the nine that we see, it says they spoke in tongues. Or it'll say they spoke in tongues and magnified God. Or they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Tongues isn't the Holy Spirit. But when he floods your soul, when he baptizes you, the evidence that he's there is that when you begin to speak, you have a new language. Your language isn't like my language. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says that though we speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, we're a clanging cymbal, a noisy brass. We have to be motivated by love. But he gives you a language that you can begin to speak to him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:4 that when you speak in tongues, no one understands, but you're speaking mysteries to God, divine secrets to God. So it's a prayer language. It's a perfect prayer language that you can sit in God's presence and in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and begin to pray out of your spirit, oh, Rebaka Santa, words that you don't even understand. So your brain isn't in the way of the Holy Spirit praying through you according to the will of God. And that's when I began to see things happen in my life. Family coming to the Lord. I didn't know my brother Bill needed. Oh my gosh. But I began to pray for him, intercede in the Spirit. Ombre be casata, ore sete, Holy Spirit. And in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit knew how to prepare his heart, knew how to send laborers to him, knew how to bring him back to God. It's a beautiful form of prayer. Do I have to speak in tongues? Absolutely not. But don't you want all the gifts that God has for you? Hey, if Jesus said, don't go anywhere, don't do anything until you receive the Holy Spirit, and we see those gifts flowing through the early church, why wouldn't you want me to have that? So you don't have to resist because it's something that might be foreign to you. Just receive by faith. 1 Corinthians 14:4, the other one I quoted was actually verse 2, but in verse 4, it says that when you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself. When you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. There's an edification. There's a strengthening that comes in. And I love it because he poured out the Holy Spirit so we would have power. Well, you don't have to ever let your battery get worn down. You know, you go out to go somewhere and it's always your turn to drive the car, you know, when the battery goes out, not your husband's or your kids, you know, but you go out there and Well, there's so many times that just through the cares of this life and different things, we can get a bit worn down. Do I hear an amen? But when you pray in the Spirit, there's a surging, there's an edifying, there's a strengthening that comes to your spirit. And that word edify is where we get our word edifice. It literally builds you up on the inside like a mighty fortress. So there's an ongoing way that you can be recharged and you can come into His presence and receive the strengthening of His presence. Are you with me? But then there's eight other gifts. Now it says when we pray in the Spirit, we're not really talking to people, but we're talking to God. So my personal opinion on that is that maybe that's why it's the first gift of the Spirit we see in manifestation. Because it's really not about ministering to others. It's about just about you and God. And that's why here around the Rock, we don't have a lot of display of it in our public worship services, because it's really, Paul put the emphasis in 1 Corinthians 14. He didn't say throw the baby out with the bathwater. But he said that it's more important that we talk to God with our heavenly language and speak words that people understand when you're talking to people. Are you with me? So I just personally feel that just sounded like God. He wants to be first. You know, there's been times that I've been just a busy little girl for God. Anybody else been God's helper? You know, I'm the only one that can help Him. So I've been very busy with being God's little helper. And He's actually had to clip my wings and say, you know, hey, I'm jealous. You're making all this ministry an idol and doing all these things for me, but you're not spending time with me. And so He will be number one. And it just made sense to me that maybe that's why it's the first gift of the Spirit we see all through the book of Acts, is because it's really more about you and Him. Now, for the purpose of time and for the purpose of being able to receive in a mass situation like this, we're not talking about me speaking out in tongues and someone else interpreting, and it would be like prophecy. There should be a limit on that. And we see with the Corinthian church, everybody was just speaking in tongues and having a good time and, I don't know, rolling around the aisles maybe. But unbelievers are walking in and going, what is this chaos? And the Bible says we should do things decently and in order. But for the purpose of you just being able to receive today, we will in one accord perhaps be speaking in tongues. And I, again, I don't mean to offend anyone by this, but I hope I've given you enough scripture, and I hope that you can go home and look at 1 Corinthians 4 and 14 and study some of these things out on your own. I have some little booklets I can give to you afterwards. But right now, I would like to offer you to be able to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, the seal of the deal, your engagement ring, the down payment on your eternity. When He goes up, you're going to go up in the Holy Spirit in His fullness. I want to do it like I did in Tanzania several years ago. There were 2,500 women there. There was no way we could lay hands. I want to pray a prayer, and I've asked our sound people just to give us some soft music. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to believe God for the Holy Spirit to fall like He did on the day of Pentecost. He's been poured out upon all flesh, but I know He fell again with the Gentiles. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And that word filled there is a continual thing. Be being filled. So God wants us to be filled to overflowing with His Holy Spirit. Maybe you've asked someone to pray for you. Maybe you've had hands laid on you. That's typically how we minister here. We lay hands. But maybe you said Shandala, Shandala 5 years ago, and you haven't really fully embraced the baptism and everything He wants for you. I want to encourage you at this time to just, you'll just be raising your hands with everybody else and just say, Holy Spirit, fall on me afresh, and be able to just speak in a language that will just pour forth so beautifully. Are you ready? I want to pray for you. Are you ready? Who would like to receive today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.